When we have injuries or we do repetitive motions, what happens is we get faulty movement patterns. In the motor control center of our brain is basically our software program, right? And I always tell people, well, if you had an injury and, you know, that program got programmed in there, if you don't reprogram your computer, it's going to be the same movement pattern.
You've just tuned in to Rebel Wellness. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales, integrative clinical nutritionist in training, fitness pro of over a decade, and the woman who refused to accept normal when my body was screaming otherwise. If you're the high achiever who's been told your blood work is perfect while you're secretly Googling why you feel like garbage, if you're crushing it at work but your energy crashes at 3 p.m. and your cycle just feels off, or maybe you've been gaslit by providers who dismiss your symptoms as just stress, and you know something deeper is going on. You're my people. Here's where functional medicine meets real talk strategy. I created this podcast as your resource to take back the driver's seat on your health journey. Women are incredibly intuitive, and I'm here to help you reconnect with that voice. This isn't about perfection or another protocol to fail at. It's about finally getting the answers your body has been begging for and the tools that actually work in your real, messy, beautiful life. Less noise, more nourishment. Let's dive in. Hey, Rebels. Welcome back to another episode of Rebel Wellness. I'm Kales, and today we are diving into something I am genuinely fired up about. If you know me, I have a tattoo on my right wrist that is a whisk and a barbell because I am hugely passionate about fitness and nutrition. So today's topic is actually more on the fitness side. You know, you've heard me talk a lot more about nutrition lately. That is where I am going more professionally as time moves forward. But I have a huge soft spot for movement therapy because I believe that it is essential. It is one of the most important things that you can have in your life. And especially if it's movement that actually does something for you long term. I'm a huge fan of all of that. So you know how I'm always talking about finding practitioners who don't just treat symptoms, but actually get to the root of why your body is compensating or experiencing those symptoms? Well, today's guest is exactly that kind of practitioner, so I had to have her on the show. Today, I am bringing you Karina Barovic. She is a level 3 neurokinetic therapy practitioner with 28 years of bodywork experience. And here's what I love about her story today. She didn't just study this stuff in a textbook. She lived it. After her own injuries and multiple surgeries, Karina literally had to rebuild her relationship with movement from the ground up. But also, how I found Karina was when I was searching for a top-tier functional movement therapist for my dad in the Las Vegas area. He had this recurring shoulder issue, and, you know, even though I have a history that, you know, my movement therapy for personal training shifted into some specialties with physical therapy, but it wasn't my wheelhouse, especially for chronic injuries. So I always refer out to practitioners that I trust, especially for somebody like my dad, who had something that was recurring and a problem for his quality of life. And so that's kind of where it led me straight to her when I was researching. I actually went on the NKT database online, searched through the options closest to my dad, and I was stoked to see Karina as a level 3 NKT practitioner. If you're unaware of what that is, we're going to go into it in today's conversation, but it's honestly the route I usually point my clients with chronic injuries to for movement therapy that will change your life. There's a lot of things to be said about, you know, the classic insurance mill physical therapy. They're not saying straight up that they're not great, but they don't necessarily go to the depths that I really wanted for my dad. So in today's conversation, I'm really excited to share with you guys all of these great juicy topics because I finally had somebody who had a really broad experience with the female body and all the different layers that go in with it. So we're kind of talking about more than just these, but some of the things we cover today are why that C-section scar might be behind your hip pain or your low back issues, how your nervous system could be sabotaging your recovery, even from your workouts, the connection between fascia, lymph, and why your body feels stuck, and why sometimes the gentlest approach is actually the most powerful. And Karina's also created this really cool method called the Sphere Therapeutics, which is basically her way of making high-level bodywork accessible to people at home, just like you. And we talk about her online classes and how you can start working on these patterns yourself literally tomorrow, you know? So this episode is perfect for anyone who's been told you just have to live with it, or your injury is never going to really get better, or you're going to be stuck on pain meds forever, you know, a high-performing woman dealing with chronic tightness, mystery pains, or that feeling kind of like your body just isn't moving the way it used to. We are going to talk about all of that in this episode and give you her fantastic resources. So go to the show notes if you're already interested in learning more about how to work with her and work on healing your body yourself with her guidance, of course. So grab your favorite beverage, maybe take me on a walk. Let's go on a drive, wherever we are listening today. I hope that you enjoy this episode, and let me know if anything really spoke to you. And I hope that Karina can help you if you are somebody who's struggling and who wants a different perspective or better understanding about what might actually be going on in their body. And maybe get some of the words to describe to your own practitioners. Maybe you have somebody who is already fantastic, but might need some help better understanding what you've been experiencing in your body. In today's conversation, we will help you kind of put that feeling into words. So let's dive in. All right, Rebels, today I have a very exciting guest that we are kind of talking a little bit more about movement and how, you know, approaching it from a unique perspective that is not exactly conventional can really change your life and be a lot more accessible than you think. So I would like to welcome my lovely guest, Karina Barovic, onto the show. Hello, Karina.
Hi.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's tell my listeners a little bit about kind of your background and like what exactly created like your passion for functional movement therapy.
Sure. So I've been doing, I call it body work because it's all encompassing, right? Yes. Putting hands on and movement for 28 years and started out as a massage therapist. So that's my foundation. Body, mind, spirit for sure, because my mom was getting back surgery. I was going to college. I was about to graduate and be a criminal psychologist, deciding that it's really hard to rehabilitate. So I was looking for alternative ways and I found massage therapy. So I graduated college, went straight to massage school, and pretty much been doing it ever since. But, you know, going through yoga, so I got my yoga certification a couple years after that. And then my Reiki 3 certification. And so like, I believe it's entwining, right? Body, mind, spirit. It's not just one or the other, not just the physical. And just really moving through so many different areas as we do. But I worked on a spa on the strip here in Las Vegas, doing a lot of different treatments, but one of them was ashiatsu, where I'd hold onto bars and glide over with oil with my feet. And it was my favorite massage. Unfortunately, though, there was lots of injuries with lots of practitioners doing it, just because we're not really supposed to glide and do the repetitive motion. Anyways, my feet started going numb. I had 3.5 years. Three surgeries later, lumbar and then 2 ankles. So, you know, I was writing a book at the time for massage therapists. I did finish it. Careful what you ask for, because you can manifest it. I was wanting that book to be done. Universe said, oh yes, let's just take you off your feet so you can do that. So I should have said without pain.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it, you know, it all goes into the story and the learning process. So, you know, I never knew if I would be standing next to a massage table doing massage, you know, on a full-time basis again. But I did rehabilitate, and one of my goals was to have my baby. So I did. Now she's 13. And so the main thing was I started saying, I've got to work in different ways here. I can't just do the repetitive massage all day. And to be honest with you, I wanted more challenge. I don't want to be dark rooms all day, just, you know, yeah. Repetitively rubbing. It's lovely, but that wasn't for me. So I started seeing some posts from David Weinstock with NKT, and he talked a lot about, you know, C-sections and different things. And I just felt like every time I worked out, because I was always worked out, you know, always did yoga, but every time I'd work out, I'd just be left hurt for a few days having to rehabilitate.
Yeah.
So I took his first class, which was really, it was quite challenging. And I know my anatomy very well, but I had to know what
the muscles did, what the movement, each action was. So level one was not easy, but I did it. And I would, every client I would do a couple of tests on, and I went through all levels and just added into my practice. What was interesting, because, you know, I've done a lot of training over a lot of years, like we do. And so I have a lot of tools in the toolbox. And so I would notice if I did too many tests to see where certain patterns were off, you'd kick up their nervous system. And because we're talking about old injuries and things, mm-hmm. right? Traumas, whatnot. And so I took craniosacral out, and I hadn't used it in a while, but I'd figure out how to calm down their nervous system, working with vagus nerve and cranial holds. And then another thing is really bringing functional movement, because after we repattern a dysfunctional pattern, and we can talk about that later, yeah. but we give them correctives. So then that can be repatterned into the long-term memory. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started finding, like, we're always trying to get the core on. So that's when I started, I got a Pilates rehab certification for professional. And so I started adding that in and got me a reformer Cadillac combo. And and in the meanwhile, as well with after the injury, I had learned how to do Yamana body rolling. I have developed my own, just a little spinoff, and that's where Sphere Therapeutic Spell Rolling came in, where we align structure and work on soft tissue, including functional movement. So yeah. Trying to make my long story short.
No, it's good. Honestly, I think it's important because I love how people's real life, like lived experiences, and then like the barriers you come up against, and how that it helps shape who you are as a unique person. And I like having people like you on the show because it's really important to, you know, for people to experience and learn about what you've learned in a faster manner to some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, not exactly faster. The skills. Not the skills exactly. But actually, yeah. So we're going to talk more about your Sphere Therapeutics soon and whatnot. So everybody stay tuned for that. But first, I kind of wanted to go back to when I was in the personal training industry and kind of learning from some of like the modern functional movement specialists. You know, I got to train with like Vinny from Myo Detox. I don't know if you're familiar with that group. And they're kind of more of like chiropractic functional movement therapy that's like been modernized. And that blew my mind. Some of the little things, that same kind of mission, like challenging the status quo, like wanting better quality, modern movement therapy and injury prevention or whatnot. And that brought me to NKT when I started to see more of the neurokinetic therapy. That's what NKT stands for everyone listening. I was like, wow, if I went into more physical therapy side, this would be what I think would be the most beneficial. And so when I searched for people, like how I found you, little background story on Karina, and I actually found her to help my dad in Las Vegas. That's where you're based, out of Henderson area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you're listening from Vegas, definitely reach out to her. But I found her from my dad because he had this recurring shoulder injury. And my mind, I'm like, I only want, especially for paying out of pocket, I want like top tier of the functional movement. And that's, to me, NKT. And specifically, you know, of course, like the higher level NKT, I'm sure you get a lot more experience and training, and it is very intensive. It's not child's play, that's for sure. So can you talk a little bit more about NKT so that everyone can learn about it?
Sure. So basically what we're doing is, you know, there is a component of manual muscle testing. How we test, though, is we're testing for movement patterns. So that makes it a little bit different. And we're not just thinking just muscles. So we're thinking about movement patterns in general. And when we have injuries or we do repetitive motions, what happens is we get faulty movement patterns. Mm-hmm. In the motor control center of our brain is basically our software program, right? Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, well, if you had an injury and, you know, that program got programmed in there, if you don't reprogram your computer, it's going to be the same movement pattern. Your brain is ultra smart. We have thousands upon thousands of patterns, right? So what we're doing when somebody comes in is we're taking a full-on history. It's kind of humorous to me because people will think that it's totally irrelevant. I'm like, tell me what's happened, any injuries, any concussions, scars, ankle injuries from when, like any scars, the ones that say, nope, you know, about this, or yeah, I had a really bad head injury. And so we take that into account and we work a lot with scars. And so what we're doing is we're trying to repattern these dysfunctional movement patterns. I mean, if you want to say, what's the bottom line here?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And we're taking and we're trying to sort out those and balance out those patterns to make their movement better. And we will solidify that by giving correctives after the correct ones to pattern in and basically reprogram the computer afterwards. Because what we do in session is going to be short term. If they do their part and they do their exercises outside of there, that's going to be more long-term memory that keep patterns in, patterning it in their brain. So that's kind of the nutshell, but we are big on scars. And so how I started looking up the NKT, like I said, I kept getting hurt, but I had a lumbar surgery. So I had a two-level fusion, L4 thoracic, and I had a C-section. Try as I might for 5 days because I didn't want another scar and I knew it is what it is. Mom and baby are healthy, but I would have rather not had that scar. But
I know,
again, it is what it is, right? But scars really matter. Why? Because the brain, it sees that area kind of like the knitted sweater, right? That will always pull from that area. So it tends to want to do the work instead of letting the muscles like the transverse abdominis and our power five that we call it to fire up. So it kind of takes that, like you guys can be lazy, the scar will work, but you have all this compensation. I work with a lady 40 years after a C-section and she needed a hip surgery. You know, at that point it became a hardware problem in the hip joint itself that I couldn't correct. But if we can get to it, you know, sooner than that, then we repattern that scar, make the muscles work, and you feel a lot better, especially when you work out or, you know, and it's like, it's kind of my mission, like to go to maybe some gynos and it's hard with certain doctors because they don't take the time to try to understand that I'm an adjunct to them, as you understand. And I want to know if they have that back pain or that hip pain. You know, you can send them to a PT, but I can be an adjunct to that because we're actually repatterning that. So,
yeah, no, that's such a big, like I wanted to actually, because you talked about that in one of your videos in your classes that we'll talk about in a little bit, but cesarean scars, what I've learned from a lot of my clients in the past. And I remember the first time when I was really early little baby trainer at LA Fitness and we did a certain ab move that I remember my client, she was in her early 50s and she was just like, wow, I haven't felt my lower abs since my pregnancy and my C-section. And like, I just remember that sticking in my mind thinking like, what a unique but common scenario that a lot of women are struggling with that really needs some intention and attention, you know, intention and attention to really recover. Because as like we go through life, like a lot of that area is like exceptionally important. Like you had said, somebody had even gotten now a hip problem because of the scar tissue there, right? Or at least encouraged by that or not helped by. And I think, you know, even like my best friend recently had a baby, same as you, tried her hardest to not have to go C-section and it just ended up having to. And that recovery. So I'd love for you to share maybe a little bit more of what listeners who have that could benefit from as far as trying to reconnect with those muscles, as far as the NKT approach might go, if there's anything that you would suggest.
Well, a lot of times too, what also I could say is it's really the compensation that happens from injuries, surgeries, car accidents, head injuries, whatnot. If you take a C-section scar, it's the compensations because your body's brain is so smart. It'll pick something. It'll say, oh, okay, well, let's jam up your lumbar spine. So jamming up your lumbar spine then after years can create compensation in the discs or jamming up the hip joint itself because all those muscles are going to get tight to stabilize and act like the core support. So for the listeners, we really built a worldwide audience. What's really cool about NKT is that each practitioner is super unique. And the reason why that is because we have all different professions, anywhere from massage therapists to PTs to chiros to Pilates or physical, you know, personal trainers. So it's cool because, you know, we all know the same thing, but then we have all the other toolkit that we use because we don't just do NKT. So we have a worldwide network wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, you could look up the directory. I think it's nktdirectory.com or neurokinetic therapy directory, but it is. And you just type in like your your zip code. I think
that's how I found you.
Probably did that. Yeah.
That's exactly how I found you.
There's not a lot of us in Vegas. I don't know what the deal is. I think I teach a lot of kadu education for massage therapists. And I think it's because we have so many spas and there's a lot of, you know, massage therapists to do general massage, which is great, but that's not what they're looking for to do this type of body work, as I call it. Mm-hmm. I was the only level three here forever. And then a lady that worked with me, I'm like, you should really do it because she was a voice coach. And, you know, we do a lot with breathing too, diaphragm breathing, jaw, because they're major compensators. And then a lady from LA moved here and is in K2-3. But yeah, we don't have a lot for whatever reason. However, around the world and in the United States, we have a lot. So you would look that up. And the thing is we can give you a start. You don't have to come forever. You know, I have people that come for maintenance. But, you know, give us a couple of sessions where we can sort things out if you're good at doing your homework. At first, you're doing it 3 to 5 times a day. But you're talking about, 5 minutes of exercises or correctives, we call it, to do. But, you know, so that's a little bit of time you have to invest. And then you might do it before you do your sport or marathon runner, you know.
Yeah.
Before you work out or just to optimize your body for the day. So, really?
Yeah,
those would be my suggestions to get started if you aren't in the area. Some of us do virtuals, like I do virtuals. We can't do the testing as well, you know, but that's why I use the Sphere Therapeutics balls and different things I can do with breathing and such. So it is more effective, I think, in person, but a lot of us can do things, you know, in the virtual session if necessary. But that would be what my suggestion would be if you're looking for something to really help you. I get the medical rejects or sometimes the PT rejects that they're like, I've tried everything.
Oh my God. All the time.
Probably even with your nutrition, right?
Yeah, or even when I've sent my clients to out-of-pocket physical therapists, because there's sometimes a little difference between insurance mill physical therapist and private specialty like you.
Yeah, because we kind of have a little bit more freedom. Like, you know, if you go to PT, the insurance is saying you got like one area, or can't work anything else, you know, so we have a little more freedom.
That's a good way to put it. I think a lot of people don't. It's hard to describe to them the difference. And I think that that's like you're getting, even though you're paying out of pocket, I remind a lot of my clients, I mean, even for my line of work, but especially when I'm encouraging them to see a specialist like you, I'm always like, this is an investment in their knowledge. They've invested hours and practice. That's different than, you know, what you might find, because a lot of the like generic physical therapy that goes through the insurance mill, like they're also usually newbies from who just graduated from physical therapy school too, which is nothing to them. They're very smart, intelligent people. But again, like you said, they are barred by what they can legally work on, and they have to go through a chart and
protocol. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So so that's helpful that you kind of framed it that way. How do you frame it to people when you say, like, I've tried everything, or they say, I've tried everything? Like, what do you usually kind of, what's your spiel?
Well, you know, I never tried to, like, you know, promise the moon, but say I can heal everything, because I try to empower them. But what I say is, hey, let's take a look. I get a lot of these cases. I get the difficult cases, and I'm up for it. You know, cool. I'm up for it, and let's see what I can do. You know, at least I know I can help you some. And, you know, if I need to refer you, then I will, like if it's a case, like neurosurgeon case or something, which I feel I'm a very good medical advocate. And the reason why is because it was a worker's comp case that I had to go through. Eventually, they kicked me off, and I got to use my own insurance. Fine and dandy, because guess what? I got to go to John Hopkins and have the senior neurosurgeon work on me, because nobody could figure it out here. So my point is, like, you know, you got to have a medical advocate if necessary. But a lot of my cases, I'm able to help them without. But I will, if necessary, refer, just like, you know, if I can handle that. But usually I can, and I basically will say, hey, let's see what we can do. I get a lot of these type of cases.
Yeah, right. You're like, I get a lot of you.
Yeah, you know? I'm up for it. I'm not scared. Let's go.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And then do you usually have like them kind of come back around later and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I found you.
Yeah, what I say is, like, I'm not for everybody, because I think, you know, sometimes people want me to do all the work.
Yes.
And that's not what I am anymore. I'm not going to have you lay on my table and I'm going to rub you all day. Unless, you know, your clients come while and they had a bad day. Okay, fine. I know how to do massage. But I want to empower you. And you know, if that is not where they're at, that's fine. But yeah, that's what's rewarding to me is when people get better and like, oh my God, I haven't been able to move my hip like this, or my back has, you know, not hurt me, you know, in so long. So that's what's rewarding, yeah. You know, when you get the cases that you're like, yeah, it was pretty simple. We worked your scar. I mean, yeah. There was silly little things, right? Yeah. Or I did eye movement pattern from a concussion, or actually got them to breathe and their diaphragm is so constricted.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I'll come back to that in a second when we talk about the method that you developed. But as far as what you were saying kind of about the advocacy thing, I think that's important for listeners to know that there is always an opportunity for you to not only go through insurance when you're looking for, I'm not going to necessarily say better quality care, but maybe just the approach that you're looking for, you know, try around, but it does usually invest out of your own health budget. You know, I tell a lot of my clients that like there's health care and then there's sick care. Sick care is usually insurance. You know, health care usually has to be your own budget that you kind of set aside, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it, especially with like what we're talking about, because these chronic patterns can really make or break your aging life. And I think that's something a lot of people don't think about. You know, they get around to it once they have to get the surgery. And it's like, you could prevent it. You can always prevent it.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you let it go longer, it's going to take longer sometimes to correct. Yes. So invest in your health.
Yes. Yeah. It's the best investment you can ever make. And invest in the high quality practitioners that take the time, like you're saying. There was something else you were just talking about that I wanted to have you expand on. It's escaping my mind, so we may come back around to it. But let's now talk a little bit more about how you've kind of created the Sphere Therapeutics and what that looks like for listeners and action.
Sure.
Talk about that.
Sure. When you come to me in session, you're always going to go home with one of these. So it's an adjunct. I do the NKT repatterning, but I also I'm going to have you open your body. So what makes this different is that we are aligning structure. We're doing bone stimulation first. So in massage school, we're taught to stay off a bone. I go against all the rules, my rebel self, but it's because I've learned other things. But we're stimulating bone, which sets off release of the tendon. And then the myofascial structure. So we're stimulating bone and then we're rolling and creating links. So we first will align the structure and then we open the body. So, and we release adhesion as well. We really just melt into that adhesion. So, you know, it has to do with some, you know, the fascial workings. And I was thinking about your asking question in the questionnaire. It was about fascia. And one of my favorite books that I read 25 years ago was called Job's Body. And that was before its time with all this fascia research stuff that they finally are getting into.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about this, but he was before his time. And it was an amazing book, especially for anybody, but for body workers. He talks about thixotropy and the ability of fascia to change from the hardened state to the soft state, a more fluid state. So like I said, I like the combination with the Sphere Therapeutics sphere, it's an air-filled sphere that we align structure by stimulating bone first, then we open the body. And then my lovely colleague, Stephanie Whittier, she's a massage service Korean psychotherapist that developed the T-Spheres aromatherapy massage balls. Mm-hmm. They're nice because they have like a grip effect, but also, you know, they're more dense. And so first we will use the air filled and then align the structure. Then we go in and do pinpoint release. So people are always thinking about, oh, we have to get in there hard and we have to work it. But you know, sometimes, like I say, using the bone stimulation, that just like, ooh, everything just kind of starts letting go and softens because you just told where the structure is and everything else just to open and release, creating space. So then you can get in and work some of the pinpoint. It's not all about how hard it is. I like deep tissue too, don't get me wrong, but changing the fascia slowly because it is our second brain. Now they know that.
Can you describe to listeners what fascia is exactly? Because I know a lot of people may They may have heard of it from foam rolling, but that might be the extent.
Absolutely. What I describe it is basically your spider web that runs throughout your body. It is what holds everything together. But basically, it wraps everything, every little muscle fiber, organ. So it's if you took everything away, it basically kind of looked like a spider webbing. But basically, the fascia is a thin layer of tissue that holds everything together. And if you overuse it, if you have injury, if you have scars, then that can be more of a hardened state. If you move a lot, if you do, you know, therapies, stretching, yoga, all of that, then we soften it and we can create change. So it's basically also communicates with the brain. That is how our nervous system, let's say, it's part of our nervous system, they found out lately. And I think it's pretty amazing because a body, you know, our issues are in our tissues, and that literally is true, that our tissues hold a lot of our traumas and our emotions. And so that's another component of fascia, not only being a physical spider web, right?
Yeah.
But also being part of the second brain and holding emotions, memories, thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember kind of learning back when I was in my kinesiology degrees that like the superficial fascia, the deep fascia, and then the visceral fascia is like there's fascia around almost every part of our body. It's not just like under our skin. I think I remember realizing that as, you know, when we learned how to foam roll, I'm like, oh, they say like the fascia can help with, you know, your, it's like right under your skin. And it's like, it's not just under your skin. Well, I guess technically everything is under your skin, but
yeah. Yeah. Not just the layer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the modern research, like you were saying, that they've been starting to really dive into more now. Like I think when I was in school, they said there was 7 planes of fascia, and now I think there's what they've discovered more like 30 something or maybe.
Yeah.
More. Yeah. It's wild. So I do think that that's awesome. I always love hearing when there's books that have been out of somebody with some quirky, like quacky idea, and it's not, you know, and then they're like, oh, they were right.
Yeah. They're sometimes before their time, but you know, it's
at least
beautiful and amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
I'm just so happy that they're talking about it now.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's one thing as a trainer that I always get my clients on is at least the entry-level foam rolling. I would always have them do that. And it's so funny to me. Everybody who's just like, this sucks. Oh, this is so painful. And I'm like, give it 2 weeks, literally only a few times a week, and you're going to start loving it. And then they're just obsessed. They want harder foam rollers. You know, it's so funny. Uh-huh. So if you're listening and you've not gone into foam rolling because the fascia is that bunchy and tight and like you say, kind of hard, like give it some effort, give it a little bit more time. And I think you'll start to kind of fall in love with it. And your body will do better, right? Because like you're saying, it
yeah
helps with more than just circulation.
And you got to have recovery. I mean, the more we age, you know, the literally our tissue gets hardened. Our synovial fluids, our everything just, it's definitely not as fluid. Yeah. So we have to, and that's what I call a lot of like the ball rolling, especially the virtual that I do. It's recovery. It's restorative.
Yeah. It's important. Something I had learned in that kind of conference and symposium that I had been to where I started learning more about this that I was mentioning earlier was they talked about how important it is to match your training at least with the equal amount of recovery, or if anything, 75% of the same amount. They say ideally for injury prevention and longevity, you should be doing, if you did an hour of training, you should be doing an hour of recovery. And that's like, nobody does that. Even I fall short when I get into the zone, and I can feel it in my body when I'm like not, you know, taking my time to do the recovery. And I have to bug my husband all the time because he's a firefighter and he trains hard and he's super strong naturally. And I'm like, ever since he's put in more foam rolling and all this stuff, like his body just is so much healthier and is probably going to last longer in his industry because of it. So I think that what you're saying is absolutely true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about lymph, because I took, for everybody listening, Karina has an amazing online library resource, which you can share a little bit more about that after I'm done chatting right now. But she has virtual classes that I got to try some, and I'm looking forward to doing some more with her spheres and also just movement in general, functional movements. to help you from at home, anywhere you are, start to unlock a lot of these areas in your body and kind of reconnect with yourself, including some lymph work. So can you talk a little bit about lymph and why it's important and often ignored?
Sure. And another good thing is that's coming to more of the forefront these days too, which is very exciting with the lymph movement. Lymph is, it's a pretty amazing thing. It's, we call it kissing cousins with blood flow, right? Because they exchange. Lymph is basically, it's your garbage system, but also a part of your immune system. So it's a very amazing thing. You have lymph and you have glymph. So lymph is a neck down. Glymph is basically brain or neck up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty fascinating. As a massage therapist, we're moving lymph. We're just, you know, we can specialize in it where we do specific lymph, but lymph gets plucked up. And I feel like that creates illness. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, the C word. It doesn't always have to be lymphedema. We're just not basically exchanging or draining like we're supposed to as we age. And again, if we're tight, are we really letting our lymph or our blood supply move? Because we're always thinking about blood supply, but again, lymph and blood are right next to each other. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it's, put me exactly, but I think 70% of our lymph drains on the left side, because guess what? The heart is on the left side. So I do on some of my online, and when clients come in, I do make them do some lymph. I do lymph on them, but I have some portals that I open up, some main lymph nodes I open up. And then, you know, we do some stuff from there. But lymph is, it's one of the magic things, just like fascia is. But again, those go together too, because if your fascia is tight, that lymph isn't going to flow as well.
Yep.
So any kind of movement is going to help. But if you go in and open these specific bigger lymph portals up, then you're going to drain better, because those get very blocked up, especially the one right, here.
Sternum.
Around your sternum or underneath your sternum. That's one of the biggest. And guess what? If we have C-sections or we have hysterectomies or any abdominal surgeries, it's backing up into there. So that's another thing that I work with C-section clients, because we have lymph that's cut off to our legs down, and then up, it backs up. So we really need to be working. Any abdominal surgeries need to be working lymph. So lymph is super duper important. And so, you know, I have a couple that I've put on the online studio that include lymph, but it's because of, we're kind of pumping lymph in a roundabout way with the sphere. Even if we're just doing bone stimulation, we're still kind of pumping it as we go. So it's an added benefit.
Definitely. Yeah. And I liked how you called it the node roads in the class. I was like, oh, that's
yeah, it's nice like road. Your highway.
Yeah. The node road.
I know it's fun to say.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to use that now. But that's something that in my grad program, the first two terms, we did a lot of the nutritional biology and we had to go back around to a lot of anatomy. And one of it was really emphasizing understanding lymph. And there was a website that my instructor had linked that had basically like a 3D map of all the lymph system in your body, where they collect and whatnot. And it's wild. Like, I always used to just think like, oh, you know, when you're getting sick, because under your throat, you can feel your lymph nodes get sore. For anybody listening, that's what those lumps are that get sore, like before illness. Usually sometimes you can feel it and not actually get sick, because your lymph system might be doing its job. But they're everywhere. They're not even just there. They're all over your head, the back of your neck. They're down your arm. They're everywhere. And I thought that that was very eye-opening to me, because you don't really realize all these little systems that are intricate in our body that do so many important things. But to that same point, I remember getting a lymph massage 2 years ago, because I was like, oh, you know, I haven't really given some love to my lymph. It's probably because, like you said, it's become a little bit more of a buzzword right now. And the massage, like, I'm so used to deep tissue and stuff. And it's just like, she had like her fingers and was like doing little wiggles and like my whole body. And I just remember being like, did that do anything?
Like, totally.
What was that?
Very light. Very light.
Yes. But she did some ashiatsu kind of like pressure points, if that was the correct terminology. And I just remember definitely feeling like sometimes you do need that gentle approach. Like you don't always need to be like worked in and felt like, you know, nervous system
manhandled.
Stimulation. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So.
And right. Nervous system stimulation is interesting. Yeah. It's interesting too. I think we don't realize, but then afterwards you're like, ooh, I feel a little nauseous because they moved a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's where the hydration really can be important afterwards.
Yeah. I guess they did something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It totally feels like nothing's happening, but something did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, the nervous system conversation. Yeah, that's something I also wanted you to talk a little bit about from your experience, since you've got some expertise in that zone with injuries, right? I realized when I had an injury once, I had gotten, they did, I believe, Graston on me. Mm-hmm. And I remember incredibly nervous system overstimulating. Like I was in so much pain because it was, I think it was Graston, because there's a couple of other types, kind of mixing up the names, but I think Graston is the more hardcore one. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just was like, man, how could this be good for me? Because I'm just like lit up. Like I can't chill. I'm like not even breathing, you know, when you get to that level of pain. And later, a couple of people I had been following in the modern physical therapy space where like we don't really love active release therapy all the time if it's to the extent where your nervous system is just like can't chill, firing on all cylinders, because then it becomes counterproductive. What could you speak on that topic?
Well, I feel like, and I'm like you too, I like a lot of like hard stuff, but I've had to like back myself down. But when we are in nervous system overstimulation, we don't really heal that well. So again, that's another thing that's coming to the forefront, which is excellent too. I'm happy and proud of humanity in that way. But the nervous system, if we are in fight or flight all the time, we're constantly on the go, we're not slowing down, our bodies just can't rest and digest. I mean, that, just put it really simply, our bodies cannot heal. And so say when somebody's on the table with NKT, sometimes when you're repairing those injuries, sometimes emotions come up and people are really surprised. And I've seen it and I have to recognize it. So when you have the nervous system overstimulation, I usually look at my client's eyes or their breath, and usually they're glazed or they just, you know, they hold their breath, and you have to help bring that down. And breathing is one of the most simple ways to bring that down. You know, you'll see a lot of videos with the nervous system working vagus nerve a lot. You need to tone the vagus nerve because it gets undertoned with that constant fight or flight, which is how we live our lives, right?
Yeah.
And I've had to learn to take it down a notch, but breathing is like your simple key. Making your exhales longer than your inhales is going to help take you out of fight or flight, or into from sympathetic, which is your overdrive, into parasympathetic, which is more relax, rest, digest. So, I mean, if you just take it down to the most simple anatomical speaking, just make your exhales longer than your inhales and do that for about a minute. And you'll calm your body. So nervous system regulation is so uber duper super important, because we're getting illnesses because one of the reasons is our nervous systems just can't keep up and they're in overstimulation all the time for many reasons.
Absolutely.
But even if, you know, even if we took 5 to 15 minutes a day, you know, or 5 minutes in three time, you know, times a day, just to breathe.
Yeah.
Calm down. Just even those little increments, those all add up. Slow down a little bit, because that is going to catch up with us if our nervous systems are in overregulation all the time. So I do work with clients with that on the online portal. And then, of course, one-on-one, I like to work with the nervous system. Because again, honestly, okay, maybe I shouldn't say we're not going to heal. I always like to think positive or talk positive. It's going to take us longer to heal.
Yeah. Definitely.
Fair enough.
I think, yeah. And that's something that is a missing link that I've definitely noticed with, even as I've observed, you know, the patterns that long-term impact my own health. And it's definitely been nervous system dysregulation for so long. And you become kind of addicted because that becomes your baseline. And so when you're not doing going and being busy, when you get into the chilled state, it actually initially, for some people who are also like in that high achiever state, is like, oh, this is actually just uncomfortable because I haven't been doing it for a while. It's not that it's bad for me, because we kind of get into this pattern where it's like, oh, this feels weird. I should just go back to what I know, you know? And for nervous system, I'm definitely learning that, you know, the box breathing, kind of like you were saying, is so key. And it's just pattern interruption. Like, even if your day, because some people be like, I can't meditate, you know, or whatnot. And it, I mean, it's so hard to meditate. So, but they'll like, that's the main one I get, is they're just like, I can't even go for a walk. And I'm like, okay, well, then you could just stop for like a minute and do like 5 rounds of some box breathing. You know, you don't have to do like the 10 in, 10 out. Like, I remember in my mind body class in my undergrad, it was like, my teacher had us do an 8-second breath pattern. And I was just like trying to breathe out. It was like, how do people do this? But then you do it for only a few more times and your lung capacity expands and you can do so much more. And then you realize, like, I've been shallow breathing or holding my breath because my nervous system has been like in fight or flight all day. And apnea in general, just absence of breathing, for those who are unfamiliar with the term, can really actually even dysregulate hormones, which I was learning more recently. So yeah, what you're saying is so true. Like, it's so important to pay attention to just even breath work for health and recovery, like you're saying.
Yes, dealing with that. My daughter started with apnea when she was small, with tonsils and such, and she's 13. And I think this is a little, and you're going to know more about that, but it's pretty much an epidemic with hormones and minerals being an awesome finding. So,
yeah. You know, and I thought was interesting too, I was brought up to my husband the other day, was a few of my clients and I have observed that post-pandemic, something that unfortunately was trained unintentionally is from mask wearing, most of us weren't breathing heavy because nobody wants to, like, you know, breathe their own breath. So we were all like relearned from like almost a year of wearing masks, like breathing really shallow. And I started to realize that, like, wait, I can do a big breath. Like, I don't have to worry about mask knee and, you know, all this kind of stuff anymore. But it was just enough time to train a lot of us to breathe really shallow or sort of hold our breath. Because, like, I remember that in the heat of the pandemic, I was like, I'm not gonna even breathe on anyone, you know?
I know. And it's just like suffocating, you know? So it's like you didn't want to breathe. So yeah, luckily we can breathe free now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's just like expand those lungs again and realize if you're even sitting, like, really, like people who are at desk jobs, I'm sure you get that a lot. That forward concentric curling. And that was what I was gonna mention. This is a good segue for us. When I was taking your lymph and neck and diaphragm class, it was funny doing the little flick and breathe thing. But I totally felt on that one side of my under my ribs was like so tight and uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, and you even called it out in the class right after. You're like, you might feel a lot of tightness and resistance. And I was like, yes. So can you talk a little bit more about like those little areas in the body and like why it's important to manually like adjust and stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. So the diaphragm, we forget, is a muscle. It's a dome-shaped kind of umbrella muscle. I have a pelvic floor class too that I just put out, but it's a trampoline with the pelvic floor. Yeah. So if the diaphragm's tight, pelvic floor is probably not going to work well. Also, you have three structures that move through the diaphragm, and blood going out, blood going back to the heart, and your esophagus. So I have tons of heartburn patients, tons of hiatal hernias. It's, again, I just know my anatomy well. No miracle worker. I know my anatomy really well. So that diaphragm gets constricted, shallow breathing, many different reasons, right? Stress, because we hold our breath when we're stressed. We don't realize that we do. The diaphragm in NKT is definitely a compensator. It's an overworker. So it likes to take up the slack for, again, things that don't work probably below that generally. So remember, the diaphragm is a muscle. It can get tight just like any other. If the neck is tight, probably the diaphragm's tight because the phrenic nerve innervates the diaphragm. So what we're doing with Cofflix is we're actually releasing the diaphragm. We're working with the phrenic nerve. So again, it's just anatomy.
No,
that's fun, little anatomy, little things, hacks.
Yeah.
So basically, before we do our breathing, if we do a little bit of diaphragm release, it is very helpful so that diaphragm actually can contract and relax, just like I would release my bicep, right? It's going to work a bit better if we release our bicep, right? Going to have a better full range of motion. But it does affect structures moving through it. And like I said, blood going out to the body, blood going back, and then, but a lot of what I work with is hiatal hernias and heartburn, which we know that that's not the only reason for heartburn. But yeah. If our esophagus is really constricted, sometimes it's pushing things back up, yada, yada. I would work with a nutritionist as well. But in my opinion, Prilosec is not the only way.
No.
So anatomy and nutrition, it would be my thought process. So yes. So diaphragm is a really super important structure in your body for many reasons, because you're not getting as much oxygen if your diaphragm is so tight either. And it's your pump. So again, we're talking about lymph. Let's go back to lymph. It's your pump. The lymph, your diaphragm is pumping lymph all day when it works efficiently. It's better.
And vagal nerve massage, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. So your vagus nerve, it comes out of brainstem, comes down here all the way down and into the left side, wraps around the stomach. So it's part of your nervous system. Mm-hmm. So the vagus nerve is very important, and gut-brain connection, right? If your gut's not feeling good, probably your nervous system could be a component to that as well. Yeah. So we can do some vagus toning exercises to help, because it gets understimulated when we're in fight or flight. Yeah. Or have trauma or whatnot. And there's a program called Primal Trust that really is cool. It's a lady that had autoimmune disorders that she helps kind of repattern some of that. Because people, when they're sick, sometimes they get stuck in that, and it's hard for them to think that they can be well, right? So she works with repatterning with stress response and working with, trauma and, vagus nerve. So, and it helps health. So,
It does. It's really underrated. I feel like I've only been paying attention to it lately, especially working with like some clients that have had like lifelong chronic constipation, and the connection between high stress jobs, fight or flight, AKA, and their connection to, or the lack of connection to, their vagal nerve tone and it getting undertone or whatnot. What would the proper term would be, like, basically losing that connection and it impacting your bowel movements. And then if you're not having good bowel movements, all that toxin is getting re-uptaken into the body and we get sicker and things manifest. So it's definitely something to not sleep on. That's for sure.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So as you can see, all of these subjects are intertwined, right? Yeah. And anatomy matters when we're talking about all of these things about health, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
which that's what's interesting, is it's full circle what we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also encompasses like why your journey of seeking healing and better health went the direction it did with so many different modalities, is because like they all have to play together if you really want long-term success. And it is interesting too, because sometimes when it comes to alternative body work in general, people might think like, oh, this is woo-woo, or this is, sometimes they just throw like kind of blanket terms, over. And it's like, well, actually, it's still rooted in anatomy. It's very much real. It's kind of like Ayurveda, it's been around for a really long time, because it's just a different understanding and different terminology. It's the same understanding, different terminology is what I mean, for, body systems and how it works, because our anatomy is generally not changed too much over the last thousands of years. So we have definitely learned a lot about it, and we're still learning more. That's for sure. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the body's fascinating. So we'll never not learn.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was this funny show that's like called Upload, and it's just kind of a quirky, weird, like futuristic thing. And this AI guy basically like is become a shaman, like in this little like area, and he is just healing people. And in reality, he's just like, he knows everything about the human body because he's AI. And so he's like, oh, yeah, like human body's not complicated at all. And it just kind of makes those of us who are like in it as like humans like laugh, because we're like, yeah, well, if we could access all that information and understand everything perfectly, like, yeah, it wouldn't be complicated at all. But in reality, we are human and we have to, try and learn and explore what works for us uniquely as well. So before we kind of close out our conversation today, and before I ask you the question of the hour at the end, what are some things that, you're exceptionally passionate about right now? and some projects that you have available if any of the listeners want to work with you or learn from you.
Well, bottom line is I'm passionate about empowering people and helping them. I have many different avenues that I like to work with people, whether they're in the area and I can work with them in person, or they can go into the virtual studio, and just work with some classes to really help their body. Or if they need help online, I can do that. But I do workshops such as TMJ, because that's a problem for a lot of people, foot, low back, and shoulders. First of the year, I'm putting out a foot and a TMJ workshop. I've just recently, which was filmed for many years, but I finally put it together, but a pelvic floor workshop, because I see so much pelvic floor dysfunction, whether it's over or underactive, which is probably a subject for a whole podcast, but that
which we should do.
I see it. Yeah, exactly. I could talk to you for days, so that would be fun.
Yes, yes.
But pelvic floor is, it's always thought about as underactive, but there is a lot of overactive pelvic floor. In KT, we work with it. I like it because there are people and practitioners that do internal, which is useful. We do it externally, and that's, I think, a nice non-invasive way if that's how people want to go. And that's you know, how I'd rather work. But, you know, working with breath and you know, the spheres and all of that, and just helping them to understand, you don't have to have a baby, you know, to have pelvic floor issues, right? Oh, yeah. Don't have to be pregnant. Also, males have pelvic floors too. But yeah, I just put out that
pelvic premature ejaculation is a really common sign, actually, of pelvic floor dysfunction for males, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, testicular cancer where they've had to, you know, have surgeries. Yeah, there's a lot of different issues that, you know, that nobody wants to talk about. But if they do, maybe there's help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so. It sounds like, and it could be jarring for somebody to hear me say that on here, but I think we should be talking about these things a little bit more. That's one of those definite signs that I have learned in the past from research and stuff about male pelvic floor dysfunction is they really need some attention there as well. And they're often like, they don't even think about it. But ultimately, I have pretty much always pointed my pregnant friends or clients to a pelvic floor therapist, at least pre-delivery, so that they can reconnect with those muscles or maybe connect for the first time, because that really makes a big difference for labor and delivery too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the sooner you get to it, the better. So like if you could start working on it before even getting pregnant, that is really important. But you also don't have to be pregnant, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we don't breathe right, we might be putting more undue pressure on that pelvic floor.
Yeah, totally. So, totally. Yeah.
You know, many things we could talk about. But yes, absolutely. It's of importance.
Yes. And I would say too, one more note on that for a lot of my listeners, most of the clientele and friends and family who I've sent to find a pelvic floor therapist, they've actually been hypertonic with their pelvic floor and figured they were weak. And sometimes hypertonicity can cause like weakness, like symptoms, peeing and whatnot, like incontinence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you think that like, oh, I have a weak pelvic floor, and it's like, actually you just have a hypertonic pelvic floor and it's dysfunctional because it's like been hanging on too long, right? So that's kind of an interesting angle, especially for those of us who have a strength training background. We tend to overbrace our pelvic floor when we have been trained to squat and, you know, all these heavy moves to prevent peeing or something while lifting. And so I've definitely seen that. So you may think, like she said, that you are weak, but you actually might be overly activated, right? I'm trying to think of like lay terms.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yes, that's another world, but it is very interesting. And there can be help.
Yes,
for you.
No, we'll have
ladies
to. We will have to help you back. Yes, exactly, exactly. Good. So you have, but what you're saying essentially is that you've created now a course on it, and that is available already.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
It is available.
Great. Yeah. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Any ways that you are wanting to connect with Karina, definitely check out the show notes. That'll be the best place to access, especially the online library, which I've been very excited about. So let's ask the final question today. So what way, if any, do you find yourself a wellness rebel?
I just love the name. But I say be a rebel, you know, just question everything, seek knowledge. And empowerment is really the biggest thing. That's how I would say to be a rebel is just to find those truths. Empower not only yourself, but empower other people. And if you need a practitioner, make sure that they're empowering you to get better, to be vested in and care about, you know, empowering you to help yourself get healthy, not just try to fix you, because honestly, I don't think that that's the best way and it's not for longevity. So be a rebel.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But I would couple it with empowerment.
Yes. Yes. And that's sometimes with the name of the show when we were debating it and kind of like talking to some people, like what is Rebel Wellness sound like to you? Some people are like, well, I don't know. Is it like rebelling, like just doing the opposite? Because I know a lot of people, like, that's a stereotype, is just doing the opposite or whatever. And mm-hmm. It's like, yes, but with nuance. Like, so what you just answered is totally exactly what the point of this podcast is, like, to embody, is like, you know, questioning a little of the status quo, being a little bit more personalized, like empowerment to your own health journey, because we can't rely on external places for our healing. Like, it has to come from within us, right? So I think that's really beautiful. And I'm so grateful that you're yet another practitioner who's dedicated your life to, you know, the betterment of people that you can, you know?
Awesome. Great conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for being here. And we will, for everybody listening, again, check out the show notes to connect more. And I hope you guys all have a lot of great knowledge in your minds now and can access better care for your body, especially if you are somebody who's trying to recover from injuries or, you know, C-section. Definitely seek help, because there is options out there. So again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on another episode.
Thank you.
All right, Rebel, that's another episode in the books. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, this actually makes sense now, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag me at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and tell me which piece hit different. Your aha moments literally make my entire week. Want more of this energy? Jump on my newsletter, where I spill the tea on everything from blood work interpretation to why your cravings aren't a character flaw. It's the unfiltered stuff that would make this episode 3 hours long. So if you want more of that, join our newsletter on my website, coachkales.com. And listen, if this show is becoming your weekly dose of someone finally gets it, please smash that 5-star rating on Spotify, or please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow and expand and share more education with more women like you who need it. You know, it's really important that we support our sisters. Real talk though, disclaimer time, I'm dropping knowledge, not prescriptions. Everything here is educational. I'm not diagnosing, treating, or replacing your healthcare team. Think of me as your research-obsessed bestie who happens to know a lot more about hormones, gut health, and all the good stuff than your hairdresser or that random health guru that you're not quite sure if you should trust her background. Keep questioning the status quo, keep trusting your body's wisdom, and keep showing up for yourself. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here cheering you on. Catch you next week.